It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Kurt Blades, Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Mark Jackanowski is World Ag Outlook Board Chairman.
We also raised our corn use ethanol production forecast by 25 million bushels, and that just reflects data that we have on the pace of corn crushing for ethanol use and also some recent data from the Energy Information Administration that highlights the increased ethanol usage. And ethanol margins have been relatively strong. Gasoline prices are high. Corn prices are low, so they do have an incentive to produce more ethanol. And with all those changes working through the balance sheet, ending stocks tighten up by about 50 million bushels, down to 2.12 billion bushels. Still fairly abundant supplies. That those ending stocks would be up about 762 million bushels year over year. Prices have been relatively soft in recent weeks, and with that, we lowered our season average market price forecast by 5 cents a bushel, currently at $4.70 per bushel.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kurt Blades. Kurt is Senior Vice President of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers in the Ag Department. And Kurt, welcome back to the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me on today, Tony.
You know, I mentioned the Ag Department because, let's back up, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, or AEM, we usually just talk about it from the ag side, but you're really covering a lot of different equipment in a lot of different industries, aren't you?
You bet. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers actually represents, you know, mechanization and technology in five sectors: ag, construction, forestry, mining, and utilities. And you would think that those are very different sectors, and in many ways they are, because they serve very different markets. But the technology is actually pretty similar in all of those. So the issues are the same across all five of those sectors oftentimes.
And in a moment, we're going to talk a little more about the Association of Equipment Manufacturers and some of the things that AEM does. But first off, well, I guess this is one of those things you do as well. Was known as the Flash Report for years, but this is a monthly report looking at sales of tractors and combines. This has been going on for a few years, hasn't it?
It's been going on for about 30 years now. And so as a result, we've got a pretty good indication. If you're a chart person, it's a pretty good chart. If you're an economist, it's a pretty good way to look at really one of the early indicators of the overall health of the ag market and really rural America in general. We've been doing it for about 30 years. We break up tractor and combine sales based on a few classes, we break it up by month to date and year to date.
Well, let's look at the most recent report for March, and you do this for the U.S. and for Canada, but let's focus on the U.S. side. Really probably not many surprises here based upon our earlier conversations, but the area that seems to be shining as far as increases year over year, would that be the bigger tractors at this point?
We're still continuing to see some relative strength in the over 100 horsepower tractor market. So those kind of traditional row crop tractors, modest gains month over month. We're down a little bit for the year still, about 3% for that 100 plus horsepower tractor category. We're seeing kind of loss across the board. You know, we saw a drop about 8% in articulated four wheel drive tractors. But by comparison, that market was extremely strong last year. So when you're comparing year over year, you kind of have to have that longer perspective. The real softness in that tractor and combine market is in that small horsepower market, which typically represents a lot of volume. It's been soft for about 18 months now. It was particularly strong during the pandemic, and now we're kind of finding that level market. It's been a little soft lately. That represents a lot of volume. So as a result, it makes the overall tractor percentage look down. But we do see some signs of life here and there within that tractor and combine market.
you know, you look at that graph side of really all tractors, two and four wheel drive, and throw the combines in there. The unit sales really spiking. Was that 21 or 22 that we saw that big spike in April?
The huge spike that we saw was during 21. So right during the right kind of at the pandemic, when people had a lot of time on their hands and maybe even some disposable incomes where they were investing in their properties. That's really when we saw that small tractor market just absolutely explode. So that need's kind of been satisfied. The good news is I'm always an optimist. So the good news is on that story is that we brought some new people into the market. So when it's time for that tractor market to get replaced, we're at a new level for sales, and that's pretty exciting.
Now, again, we don't normally think about combines until we get a little closer to maybe our spring harvested crops that we're harvesting those, i.e. corn and soybeans. But we do see combine sales really year-round, don't we?
We do see them year-round. In fact, last year, because we were still kind of dealing with the hangover of the supply chain challenges, we saw a lot of spring delivery of combines. That's beginning to taper off just a little bit because those supply chain challenges have sort of worked themselves out. So we did see a decline in combines for the month of March, but I think it has more to do with timing than it is demand than anything else, because last year we did see some combine sales. But in general, I'll tell you what, the combine market's really exciting. You know, first of all, that's a considered purchase. You know, it's a $500,000 plus piece of equipment. And there's new technology just abound in that industry. So you're seeing a lot of demand that's being driven by technology and farmers wanting to take the most advantage of that they possibly can. So that's an exciting market. Even though we're seeing a little bit of softness in the month of March, I'm really optimistic about the combine market, you know, for the next, you know, 18, 24 months.
Kurt, this is, I guess, a bit of a curveball question here, but it relates back to the bridge collapse in Baltimore. And we don't normally think of ag and the Baltimore port there, but ag got kind of mentioned in there because it is a big port when it comes to equipment and manufacturing. Have we seen any results from that? Downside of what happened with the event in Baltimore?
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, anytime there is a disruption in logistics, there's a ripple effect. And even if it wasn't an important market for equipment, which it is, but even if it wasn't, we would still be feeling some ripple effect. What I've been able to hear from our members and really what farmers have been able to see is that, you know, we're a pretty resilient market. We responded quickly. And obviously we want that port to get open as quick as it possibly can. It was last week in Washington, D.C., and we were hearing some indications that, you know, that progress is coming along quickly. But we also know that this is a really important time for farmers. So our manufacturers responded pretty quickly and, you know, moved some of that volume to Savannah right away and moved equipment into areas so it wouldn't have minimal disruption on that important planting season. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's happening below the surface, but I think overall, those of us on the consuming side had very little effects on that. But obviously anytime there's a jolt in logistics, it's a challenge. And we want, you know, our hearts go out, you know, to those that lost their lives during that tragedy. But also I think, you know, it just points to how resilient, the manufacturing sector is in responding to challenges and figuring out ways to make the disruption as minimal as possible.
Kurt, in the past, we've talked, and even in this conversation, has kind of been focused on equipment for producers and for farmers. And if we're talking about something like Commodity Classic, you put that equipment on display so farmers can come up and see the latest designs, latest technology. But it's a whole different thing. You mentioned just a moment ago, Washington, D.C. It's a whole different thing, though, when you start putting equipment on display for people who aren't normally around that. You're about to do that again, aren't you?
I'll tell you what we are, and I am so excited to be having our second Celebration of Modern Agriculture on the National Mall. That's the first week of May, May 6th, 7th, 8th, where we're going to have probably 40 different pieces of modern farm equipment and a number of trade associations as well, telling that story of modern agriculture to legislators, policymakers, the general public, really anyone that's willing to listen, to tell that story of how this equipment's pretty fun and makes a big difference. What is amazing when you speak with people from, you know, say EPA or even USDA and OSHA that have not seen modern farm equipment or maybe haven't been on a farm in 5 to 10 years, and you see their eyes light up when they see firsthand what's going on with the technology and what we're able to do with sensors and optical sensors, and it is a fun story to tell. So we're looking forward to doing that with the whole ag industry here in a couple of weeks. And you know, I'd ask all of your listeners, if they happen to be in the D.C. area that week, come by and see us. Or even better, tell your elected officials to come see us on the National Mall so they can do a better job of communicating to their peers that aren't as familiar with the ag market as we approach this important farm bill season.
And speaking of communicating, if we want to keep up with what's happening with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, and I keep referring to the acronym AEM, but I bet AEM will help us find you online. Will it?
That is the best way. There's a lot of AEMs out there, but there's one that I like the most, and that's AEM.org, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers is the best way to hear about what we got going on. And you know, poke around our website a little bit or follow us on social media, you'll see we've got a lot going on. And a lot of that is benefiting the ag industry and your listeners. So we appreciate all the support. But, well, we want all the followers we can have, because we got to tell the story in the most positive way possible.
Again, online, AEM.org. Kurt Blades is Senior Vice President with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kurt Blades, Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Kurt Blades, our special guest, Association of Equipment Manufacturers, online, AEM.org.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied-up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Farmers all across the country are having a particularly busy planting season.
Just about everywhere, you know, where you would expect there to be field work, not only are they in the fields, but they're doing better than last year in the five-year average pace.
USDA's chief meteorologist Mark Brusberg says that's pretty much true for every spring planted crop, including corn. Corn growers doubling their planting progress during the past week from 3% planted this time a week ago up to 6% this week. That's the national number, but Mark says
some of the states in the Midwest are really making remarkable progress.
Especially in Missouri.
26% of the Missouri crop is in the ground, compared with 7% last week, so they really jumped, taking advantage of that dry weather.
And we now have our first report on soybeans, 3% planted, same as this week a year ago. Gary Crawford, Washington.